Good to be here this morning, and thank you for those words, Bill, and beautiful singing, Ted. The congregation singing together, beautiful. So we're happy to be together here on this last Sunday of April, and the weather is still a little cloudy outside, but nice days coming, no doubt. We're happy to come together on the first day of the week to worship God and to gather together as the body of Christ here. Beautiful singing at Kirkland last night. We listened online, and that's always so uplifting and encouraging to hear that many beautiful voices singing together. And Ted did a great job leading one of the song leaders there. Bill, my heart goes out to you on that Bible study back there that you were part of, but I'm so proud of you to speak up. And that is a problem that so many have today, is to go through the motion of Christianity and yet miss the heart of the matter with Jesus forgiving us of our sins and what he has done for us. This morning, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 through 13. And I want to repeat that the theme that I am emphasizing in 2 Timothy is strong to the finish, and how Paul talks about running the race. And that the thing that is of greatest importance in running the race is finishing the race, and finishing the race strong. So we'll continue that thought this morning, but let's read together in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So as we look at these verses this morning, our thought is going to be centered upon this thought of be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus that he introduces here in verse 1. And to talk about enduring hardship for Christ. Now, of course, that is something that most of us do not want to really think about very much, to endure hardship for Jesus Christ. Most of us would prefer for hardship to just go away and for us to be able to live a Christian life that does not involve hardship in any way. In fact, there are those who teach, and some of them are televangelists on TV, who talk about the prosperity gospel and health and wealth and things of this nature. But as we look into God's Word, what we quickly find is that God does talk about facing hardship in living the Christian life. And even though that is an unpopular theme today, Paul balances that and shows us why it is worth it for us to endure hardship for Jesus Christ. Today it seems many of us have become very soft in general terms in life. At the Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming, on the hiking trail, they put a comment box some time back, and they were amused at some of the comments that were put in to the comment box, such as, "You should make the trails where they don't go uphill." And there are too many bugs. There are too many spiders. You need to spray the park for pesticides. And why not pave the trails? There's too many rocks as you go on these trails. And someone put in, they said, "A deer came into the park and took my bottle of pickles. Could I please get a reimbursement for that?" So it seems like we are becoming a nation of wimps in many ways today. That there are, from the time we are born till the time we die, we expect someone to take care of us. And rather than the attitude that has really made our country great, there is a feeling today that we want someone to do everything to make it easy for us instead. Well, that was the problem that the Apostle Paul is talking with Timothy about here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we see that there's two things that Paul really says to Timothy here in this passage. If we boil it down to two main thoughts, he is saying, Timothy, the Christian life is really hard, but it is really worth it. And so the gospel is worthy of hardships that we endure for its behalf, for its sake, for Jesus Christ. The reality is that we are going to face hardships. It's not going to be easy to be a faithful Christian, but it's worth it. And that's the thing that we have to keep in our minds as we proceed and live the Christian life. So in verse 1, he began there. He said, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, as Paul was talking with Timothy here in chapter 1, he talked about the fact that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So he introduced the thought that God helps us. God gives us a spirit of power as we serve Him. We don't need to live in fear of what man is doing around us. And the fact that the Apostle Paul had been arrested and was being held in prison at the time was causing many people to shrink back in fear. And as he said and pointed out there in chapter 1 and verse 15, he said, "This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me," among whom he names these two, Phygellus and Hermogenes. But then he immediately talked about the good example of Onesimus, who, in spite of all the hardships that was involved, he traveled 1,200 miles from Ephesus to Rome just for the so he could come and visit the Apostle Paul and encourage him and refresh him. So Paul is pointing to Onesimus that, Timothy, you follow the example of Onesimus. Don't be afraid. Don't give up on your faith as so many are doing. And as Ted, you were talking some this morning in Bible class, how many people today are deconstructing their faith and looking at the society that we now live in where it's pretty much do whatever you want. There's no morals to guide us any longer in our world that we now live in. So let's deconstruct our faith down on the level that other people around us are living. That's what these people in Asia were doing. The Apostle Paul is in prison. We have to deconstruct our faith and reconsider whether we want to even be a Christian or not, because it might be hardship for us as a result of that. Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, you therefore be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now he's pointing out to him that there's help available, that there is, because of the grace of Jesus that he has provided for us, a way of salvation through his death on the cross. That as a result of that, not only do we find help in the forgiveness and salvation that he has made possible for us, but we can also find a strength in our daily life from his grace. That as we know Jesus Christ and we know that he is Lord and he is sitting in heaven at the right hand of God and he has been victorious over death, then we also can find strength in that grace of Jesus when we face the challenges that come to our faith. So Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And something else he tells Timothy here, and that is that not only, Timothy, do you need to guard the gospel, you also need to be sure to pass it on to those who are in the coming generations. So he says, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Here we find Paul is reminding Timothy that he has heard from Paul the gospel. And again in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, Paul talked to Timothy previous there. He said, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So he's talking about the gospel. The gospel has been committed to us. And first of all, our responsibility is to preserve it, to guard and protect it, and not let it be corrupted by man's changing of it in some way. But on the other hand, it also, our responsibility is to pass it on. And we can think of it in terms of a relay race in which we are running our part of the relay. Whenever you watch the runners in the relay races and they pass the baton from the one runner to the next, that is always a crucial part of the race, that they don't drop the baton and they make a smooth transition. But when it comes to the gospel, we have these two responsibilities in our generation as we carry the baton. Number one, keep the gospel pure. And number two, pass it on to those who are going to come after us. So he says to Timothy, those things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. There are many other people, Timothy, that have heard me preach, just as you have heard me preach. You commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And by doing that, the gospel is going to continue to go forward uninterrupted and uncontaminated. So Paul had done his part in his life. He has faithfully upheld the gospel and gone out and proclaimed it to the world. But now Paul is in prison, and he is expecting that he is going to be put to death here, coming in the near future. So he's calling on Timothy, and Timothy, I'm counting on you to keep the gospel moving along the line, that you must commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And as he speaks in 1 Timothy chapter 3, for example, talked about what faithful men are to be in terms of choosing of elders in the congregation, deacons in the congregation, but faithful men who will take to heart this same responsibility of protecting the gospel and faithfully teaching it to others. Well, we're thankful and we're blessed that today we live 2,000 years after the first century, and yet we're still able to have God's Word today. God has preserved His Word down through these past 2,000 millennia of time, and yet we are living in a generation today that if we fail to protect and pass the gospel on, it could be lost to our children and our grandchildren and this coming generation. So we each have a part to play and a responsibility in this in our day and time. But he is reminding Timothy of this. So he says to Timothy, now be prepared for hardships as you take this gospel, as you teach it to those that are coming after you. You need to be prepared for hardships. So he said, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. So he begins to make a comparison of that Timothy is to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. And that as you look at being a soldier, you can see that a soldier's life, by definition, it takes on hardship. That to be a soldier is not an easy thing. For one thing, a soldier gives up civilian life and commits himself to being under the authority of the military command. And his life then becomes about pleasing his commanding officer. So that becomes the entire purpose of his focus of his life once that takes place. It's suggested here, he said, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. There are several ways that you can look at that. One of them being that he doesn't have a normal way of relating to this present life. His life is consumed as a dedicated soldier, that he takes his orders, he follows those orders, whereas most people are at liberty to go and do what a normal life would be like. A soldier is committed to the service. And in Paul's day, most of the Roman soldiers committed for 20 years of service of their life. So, and to be a Roman soldier was to face tremendous challenges of his devotion and his dedication to his work. Now, only half of the men who signed up for being a 20-year service survived to the end of that 20-year period of time. And the same is true here in our day, being a soldier. I have so much respect for our soldiers who serve our country today. And whenever I see one in the store that is passing by, I always try to make a point to hold my hand to my heart or to thank them for their service because of this very thing, that they go through a lot of hardships and they give up a lot of liberties that they would otherwise have to defend our country, to help us to have peace that we are able to enjoy. You know, one of the highest honors of being a soldier is to be a guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington, Virginia. And it's a ceremony that only a few men are chosen for this honored position. But the guards of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, since July 1937, there has not been a break in guarding the tomb, day and night, summer, winter, spring, fall, no matter what the weather is like. These men are there to protect and guard the tomb. Now, there has been times that this was put to severe conditions because several years ago, there was a hurricane that was passing through that area, and hurricane-force winds were hitting the area of Arlington Cemetery, and winds of 65, 75 miles an hour. And yet, the young man that was guarding the tomb on that occasion refused to take the time off. And while he was serving, there were 13 trees that fell in the near vicinity where he was marching, and yet he never once flinched or stopped what his duties were to guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Now that really shows enduring hardships for the cause of his country and the honor of his work that he is undertaking. Now, Paul, he continues here, and he talks about athletics, and he said, "And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." Whenever an athlete commits to competing in the Olympics or competing in athletics, usually in this sense, he's referring to the runners in the race. They had the races that were run at the Olympic Games there in ancient Greece. And they had chariot races. They had various competitions. But they had to compete according to the rules. And if you do any study about that, you find out that cheating was rampant, the efforts to cheat in these events. But if a person did not follow the rules, they were disqualified from the crown that they could win. And the same thing is true for living the Christian life, that we can be disqualified if we do not compete according to the rules, if we do not live according to Jesus Christ's teaching in our lives in a faithful way, then we could be disqualified. We can be disqualified from the reward at the end, and we can be disqualified from effective service in which we would otherwise be able to. So as you look at these things from daily life, you're seeing that hardships is a normal thing in many areas of life. He says the hardworking farmer, he must be first to partake of the crops. So the farmer is not like the soldier who is one of a troop of men who are serving. He's just out there in his fields every day because he knows he has to feed his family. But the thing that motivates him is that he will get to be the first to partake of the crops. So he faithfully goes and works day after day towards the harvest that is coming. And so here are a number of illustrations and examples that Paul draws from. And he says here, as he comes to the close of this, he says, "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." If Timothy, if you will think about these different examples, God can give you wisdom how this applies in our life as a Christian. These things that I'm telling you, these things that I'm talking about, it will, if you think about these, it will give you understanding of what you need to do in your responsibilities as a gospel preacher. But he says, remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. And it's that last thought that Paul is wanting to emphasize here. The word of God is not chained. So God is going to reward endurance. God is going to reward faithfulness. And look at Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, that he was of the seed of David, but he was raised from the dead. So Jesus Christ came down and became a man. He took upon our humanity. Now, he was of the seed of David, so therefore he was of the lineage to become the king. He was the royal lineage, but he was human. He was here on this earth. He humbled himself and came down from heaven. But then men did to him, his enemies, put him to death in his physical form, and yet God raised him from the dead. And that showed that he is deity. So even though Jesus came down and humbled himself and became a man, God eventually glorified him and exalted him and raised him from the dead, triumphant over death, and now he is exalted. So this shows that God will reward faithful endurance, that he always has. And we can trust him. He said, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. So the Apostle Paul had prison chains on him as he was writing this letter. But he said, the word of God is not chained. So God's message cannot be hindered. They can bind the messenger, but they could not bind the message. And that is the thing that you and I have to keep in mind. That when it comes to opposition, when it comes to even persecution that we could face as Christians even today, the word of God is not going to be hindered. And so Paul sends that message to him, ringing loud and clear. Timothy, you do your part. Look at Jesus Christ. He was faithful. He endured those hardships. He humbled himself. But he is now our Savior. He is now exalted in heaven. I am suffering, but the word of God is not chained. He said, therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So Paul is saying, I endure all these things for the sake of the elect, for the sake of those who will hear and be obedient to the gospel. Obviously, in order for the elect to be chosen and to become saved as other Christians are, they must hear the gospel. And Paul talks about in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And he said, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And Paul is saying, therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. I am here in prison. I have these chains. But I'm doing this for the sake of the elect, because so that people can hear the gospel. And out of that, I am confident that those who love the truth and those who love the Lord, given the opportunity for the gospel to be heard, there are going to be those who are of a good and pure heart who are going to respond to the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. So I endure things for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And you have to realize that if I can spread the gospel and one person can hear the gospel and obey it, there may be 99 who reject it. But if there's one that hears the gospel and obeys it, then that person is going to be in eternal glory someday in heaven, because they heard the word of God. They heard the truth. And that is what means that I must be willing to suffer and endure in order to give people the opportunity to hear the gospel. It's that important. And it's that encouraging a thing and a wonderful thing when one person hears and obeys the gospel. And there may be many more than one, that as a result of the faithfulness of one person in sharing the gospel message of Christ. So he said, this is a faithful saying. And he goes into this here in the last couple of verses. He said, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. So he talks about death and life. Death and life in this first couple of lines here. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. And there are two ways in which this can be true. Number one is that when I obey the gospel and I die to sin and I'm buried with Christ in baptism, then I'm going to live with him. So I first must die with him and then I will live with him. But number two is that it's possible that, like the Apostle Paul, he may have to die for the Lord, but if that happens, he's going to live with the Lord. He said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21 through 23, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And he said, I would rather depart and be with Christ. And so to live with Christ, to die for Christ, means you're going to live with him. But then he said, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. And you have again the idea of endurance and of reward that comes from endurance. If we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. And there were some who were doing that. Some people were denying him. But if we endure, we will also reign with him. And Jesus talked about the fact that he said, confess me before men. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you're ashamed of me before men, and you deny me before men, then I will deny you, he said, before my Father who is in heaven. Finally, he said, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, if some become unfaithful, and that is, some deny him, but even if that is true, God will not become unfaithful. God will remain faithful. And the terms as far as each one of us is concerned, it doesn't matter how many other people have denied him, God is still going to be faithful if I am faithful to him. And if I own him, he's going to own me. And if I endure, I'm going to reign with him. So God is going to remain faithful, and he is going to reward faithfulness. He is going to reward endurance. Those who stay faithful to him to the end, God is going to stay faithful to them, and they are going to spend eternity with the Lord in heaven. So the Apostle Paul here is making it clear to us that, number one, we need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. So be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and be willing to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Just like those men at the tomb of the unknown soldier, they march back and forth. Nothing is going to stop them from their responsibilities. That needs to be a picture of who you and I are as followers of Jesus Christ. Remember, he said that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Those men, they took him and they crucified him. And in his earthly body, they laid him in the tomb. He was dead. But that didn't keep him there. God raised him from the dead. And as a result of that, God's word is not going to be hindered. God's word is not going to be defeated. You and I have our work cut out for us. Paul does not sugarcoat it for us. He said, look, I'm going to be honest with you. Being a Christian is really a hard thing to do, but it's really worth it. It's really worth it. So don't ever give it a second thought whether you're going to be faithful or not. God will make it worthwhile for each one of us. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song that's been chosen for us this morning. And it's an invitation to each one of us to commit our lives to Jesus. Just as Paul is pointing out for Timothy here, that it takes courage, it takes strength. We find that strength in the grace of Christ. But until we can say that, we must first make a commitment to Jesus. We must be willing to commit to following him and confessing, Lord, I believe you are the Son of God, and I'm willing to lay down my life and be baptized with you and begin to commit my life to following you. And so we're going to give the invitation this morning to encourage anyone who is present to have that choice, and it's a wonderful choice that we can make. So if you're subject in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing this invitation song.
Praise thee, O God, for the Son of God.